Hello, I'm Floyd Miller, the host of It's Everything West Texas, and I mean everything. Some of our topics are going to make you laugh, and some will make you cry. I guarantee you all of them will make you think. It is the podcast that highlights people and issues in West Texas. As a neighbor, we want to talk with you. The goal is not necessarily to get agreement, but it is about understanding. Subscribe today and never miss another podcast. Come on. Hello, my name is Floyd Miller, and I'm the host of It's Everything West Texas. And we're always trying to bring you interesting programs. And the last few that I've been doing is certainly interesting. We are venturing into a space that we haven't been in on our podcast, and that's the political space. We are not endorsing any candidate, but we believe that everyone should hear from the candidates and make up their own mind. So today we have in the studio Tammy Fogel. So Tammy, welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to get to have this conversation and get to be a part of what we do here on the podcast.
Okay, well, I'm glad to have you here. And before we delve really kind of deep into the politics of this, just tell us a little bit about yourself, whatever you feel comfortable talking about.
Well, sure. Well, I moved to Abilene in 1993 to go to Hardin-Simmons, and that's where I met my husband, was through university life. And we've raised our four children here in Abilene. And so Abilene is our home. We love being a part of it. I've actually been an educator here in Abilene. I've taught at private schools, public schools, and now I currently homeschool the last of my kids at home. And we're very active in our community through our church and serving. We love to be a part of helping others. And so that's very predominant in our life. I love teaching and educating people. And so I feel like there's a natural crossover into what I'm pursuing now is to what I've always done my whole life. And so I love to read books. I love to engage with people in different walks of life. And so it's really fun to get to have conversations with people in Abilene. And that's one of the things I love to do most.
Oh, okay. So you want to be on the city council, which is a... I would say a servant role. You'll be serving, if you get that seat, you'll be serving quite a few people. So up to this point, what would you say has been your greatest role as a servant?
Right. As a role, I think one of the greatest roles as a servant is to learn that it takes a person who knows their place. So a servant doesn't need to be recognized or honored or even, you know, given accolades to, because that's not the job. The job is to promote and help others step into who God created them to be. So I think empowering other people is one of my favorite parts of serving, because I get to speak life into people. I get to tell them what gifts and talents I see and what God has given them, and help them find ways to use that in their day-to-day life, because it takes everyone participating and being who they're called to be to make our community great. So we can't all be the same way. So it's good to empower people to recognize that they do have something to offer. And I really enjoy empowering them to step into the place that God has called them to.
You mentioned that word empower several times. Without giving names, can you think of a situation or a person that you feel like you empowered and, you know, just really help them?
Well, yes. Like, you know, there's times where I meet people who are kind of in the background and they don't recognize that they do have leadership or skills that they can offer. And so it takes time giving. It takes someone, or what I found helps, is it takes them to invite them to try something and give them the power to make decisions or take leadership over different activities. And so in one particular area, it's just giving them a place to invite them to join in and part of what we're doing so that they know they're valued and recognized. And I see that people come to life when they feel like they belong to something greater than themselves. And it really helps them to use their abilities to do what God's called them to do. And it can look different ways for different people. But that's one of the things when I think about empowering people, that's kind of the situations that come up, that I get to help them step into the spotlight and be recognized for who they were created to be.
Well, my next question is, what do you see as the greatest challenge for the city of Abilene? Everybody that I've talked with said, well, we don't like to look at it as challenges. We see it as opportunities. But either way, what I'm thinking, what's facing us that you think something need to be done about?
Well, I'm probably a little different then because I love to find challenges. Challenges are what help me to grow as a person. And so I look for opportunities, well, other opportunities, but I look for problems that we can tweak and make better. And so in the city, I think it's there's a lot of dynamics going on. And so I got involved in city municipal government because I wanted to be a part of the solution. And one of the things I noticed is everybody was frustrated and grumbling about what was going on, but I didn't know what was going on in the first place. So I had to figure it out. And so when I started getting into the municipal government side of things and attending city councils and going to board meetings and reading the budgets and things like that, I noticed that, you know, it seems like we have a finance problem. We've got to make sure our finances are being taken care of so that we don't have situations like the rec centers closing down because they needed to save $1 million because they were over budget, or things like, you know, letting the library kind of fall apart because they're moving into another building. We've got to make sure we have money set aside to take care of the infrastructure that we need in our city. So finances are a big thing. You know, our public servants need to have the tools to be able to function in their jobs to make sure our city is kept safe. And so I think we've got to get a hold of making sure our fund balances are actually being funded so that we don't have to take on debt or ask the citizens to be willing to increase their taxes to cover things that are the most basic parts of the city. The second part I will say, though, of this question is really, it's really hard because for so long, I feel like a lot of people don't feel like they're really a part of what goes on at City Hall. And so they feel like that's someone else's job. And so I found that trying to encourage people to get involved and know what's going on is also a big struggle we have in town because most people feel very disconnected from the government and what's happened here locally. And so trying to get them to recognize they have to lift up their, do their own work and figure out how to understand what's going on so they can be a part of the conversation is really important. And that's going to be the harder thing, I think, because once people feel like they're not connected or they're not a part of something, it's hard to get them to jump back in and be a part of the conversation.
Maybe you've answered this to some degree, but I want to go a little deeper on it. You know, to me, it seems like it's human nature that sometimes there is a we mentality. And there's a they mentality. So if I'm at City Hall, maybe no matter what I'm doing, I may be part of they. And the people that's looking on, you know, them people at City Hall, they're going to do what they want to do. And then somebody else say, yeah, that's right. And so my question would be, how do you get that citizen engaged?
Yeah.
How do you get them to say, okay, step up?
Yeah.
Help.
Right, because we know that it's not the majority that's going to make a difference. It is a small group of people, but we want that small group to be a part of all of the city and not just one part. And so you're right. I've been spending the last 3 years to answer that very question. How do we get them to step up? Because it's a lot of heavy lifting. And it's been so long since people really have understood what's going on that we haven't really, we have to start almost basically from at ground zero. And so one of the things I've tried to do is help let them know what's going on. So one of the things I'm very passionate about is transparency in our local government so that we can see what's going on. Because I find that when people don't trust what's going on or they don't trust the people, then they tend to think there's something crooked. Like there's just a lot of skepticism. And so if we can start as reestablishing that trust through transparency, I think citizens will say, oh, I know what's going on. So I'm actually a part of this. So I want to be more involved and engaged. And so that comes by just letting people know what's going on at city council meetings or letting them know upcoming decisions or, you know, not just putting out a communication saying, hey, this meeting's here, but actually trying to get people to know that they're invited and welcome. And so I think it the we versus us mentality is very strong here. And I'm trying my best to break down that barrier so that, I mean, because the city council, that's just people in our community serving. They're just a part of our community. They're an elected official, but they came from us, so they can't be that far removed. And so I think reestablishing relationships between all parts of the city is healthy. And that's what I did when I started coming to city council. I didn't know any of them before I actually came to city council meetings or started showing up or started speaking. I hadn't seen them in my community very much, maybe except one. And so I had to get to know them and get to see them as a human rather than just some elected official that was out to make my life hard. And what I found was they have families, they have passions, they're connected to different parts of our community, and they're real people too. And so the more we can connect people as that human component, I think it really helps bring down a lot of that distrust or the apprehension of feeling like we're on different teams. Because when we all work together, Abilene grows as a community in a better way, I think, and it helps create a better place for our future, our kids and their futures.
Okay, how much does the citizens really need to know?
Sure.
Because, you know, I'm thinking that, I mean, there's a lot that I don't know about the city. And so if somebody came up to me and said, "But Floyd, did you know such and such a thing?" That's probably quite a few things that I don't know, which does not necessarily mean it's bad or good. It's just that I don't know for whatever reason. So how much does a person need to know?
That's a great question. I think that I found I'm pretty passionate, and so I know a lot more than most people want to know. And that took me a while to find that place of the middle ground so that I don't tell everybody every agenda item or everything going on, because most people are doing life. But the problem is our government was created for the people, by the people, and we have to have a higher education we have to know more than we have in the past, because that's what makes our government work well. And if we're not engaged, then it leaves a few people to run the whole show. And that's a burden that's not really meant to happen. So the amount of information, I think, varies. I think we need to understand the basic format, like even just how a city, you know, Robert Rules of Order, how do they run a city council meeting? What's going on in the consent agenda? What's going on in the regular agenda? These are words that most people don't know. Or what is a CO or certificate of obligation? These are things that matter to you and I as a citizen, because bonds, that has to do with what revenues are collecting, which we know more unlovingly, or we don't like as much, called taxes. So we need to know those parts. And then what's the general direction the city's going? You know, they're very good about setting out their plans and letting us know. And if we know what's going on in the early part of the process, because we understand how it works, then we're not going to be shocked by different things that happen, like the closing of the rec centers. That was a shock to most people, but had they been watching more closely along the way, they might have been able to at least not feel so like the rug was taken out from under them when places that were very important to several people in our community were closed down for a season. So that's a great question, though.
All right. Well, how do you make all the citizens feel heard? And this is the scenario. Let's just say that I'm before council, mm-hmm. and I'm very passionate about whatever it is I'm there for. There is another person that has the same level of passion. At the end of the day, one of us may get what we want, and the other one does not. Talk to that person that did not get what they thought they should have. Make that person know that they were failed. How do you do that?
Well, I'm actually that person, because when I started going to, a lot of times people come to city council because they have a problem. A lot of people aren't coming and saying, "Attaboy, good job. We really, you know," it's the nature of how it goes. And so I was a part of trying to get some changes made in our city, and they didn't make the changes I desired. And because of that, I was able to find out more information that helped me lead me even further where I need to go. Now, most people aren't probably going to respond that way. They're not going to feel thankful that they were told no. But part of it is being appreciative of people who do come before council. And one of the things I find interesting is it's an intimidating thing to get up and speak before city council. I've spoken before hundreds of people. I've spoken all over the place. But when I get in that hot box right there, I tell you, my heart's beating, and it is just a little bit of a pressure that many people don't understand. And so having grace towards people when they come, that they're coming because they care. And if we can let people know we understand why they're coming, I think that gives us a lot more latitude to be able to interact with them, even if they don't get the desired outcome, because people want to be heard and they want to know their voices matter. And when the council doesn't respond, or they don't even look at them in the eye or make eye contact when they're speaking, it can give a an impression that maybe it's not important what they're saying. And I don't think that's what they're saying, but just making sure body language is important. And then even in the downtime, coming and talking to people in the meeting who come and thanking them for coming. I think because for so long, not many people would come and even acknowledge I was there. And it's intimidating. Thankfully, I'm a little bit of a passionate person, and so I don't get intimidated easily. But I wish that there was more interaction on city council days between who our elected officials are, just naturally, because it's part of the engagement process. So it's okay to not get your way, or not to think you were hurt, or not see your decision go the way you want to. That's part of the dialogue and the conversation. But what's important is, how do we respond to those people in those moments of passion, and make sure they're welcomed, and that their voice does matter.
Okay, if you could change anything on day one, what would it be?
I think for me, the easiest thing that we could change is just being more transparent about what's going on. And that's where this understanding of how there's two parts to a council meeting goes on. What happens in those, some things are discussed and some things are just passed in a big group because it's the functioning part of the city. And I get that. But there are things like streets that the city really wants to know what's going on. And I think being able to at least acknowledge, hey, we spent this money and look, we're under budget on this project, or, you know, hey, this is happening, things that matter to the public more directly. I understand purchasing, you know, dump trucks aren't probably the most entertaining thing or exciting thing for citizens, but there are things that matter. And if we can bring that to the public to be discussed more regularly, along with transparency, I think being able to have city council meetings at night so that those who work during the day can actually be a part of coming more regularly, because I do think if you come and see and check it out, it's easier to maintain that knowledge along the way rather than having to cram it all in at one time and figure things out when you need to. If you know what's going on beforehand, it makes that whole process a lot smoother.
Okay, so I understand the part about transparency and all of that. I mean, that's a thing. Not only do we need on our local government, we need it on national government. We need it everywhere. But if you were to get this office, how much faith should people put in? I voted for Tammy, and I know that she'll do the right thing. How much of that do you carry into those meetings?
Well, I think my character and my behavior for the last few years has set that precedence, because I didn't start out trying to come onto city council. I started out trying to educate the city on how they could be better citizens and be more engaged. And because of that, I've talked to a lot of people, I've engaged, and not only do I learn things, I try to educate people so that they can be knowledgeable about the same thing. And so I know that as a person of integrity, I do the right thing, whether it's popular or not, because at the end of the day, I'm accountable to God and who I stand for, or what I stand for. It has to be the right thing. And so that's the good news about who I am. Now, I do take into consideration and value what the citizens say, because that's what I've been spending the last few years. I've even started a podcast trying to help educate people along the way. And I try and inform them in ways that I think are helpful. And sometimes I win and sometimes people don't care, but I'm learning and growing. And I care. I want people to know that they are being heard. And when I try to express that to the city council currently, it's hard because the city council doesn't get to have the conversations I have. So I know that if elected to this position, or when this should happen, I think that I will be a voice for the citizens, because they'll have an open door. I'm not going to just wait for them to come to me. I'm going to reach out to people and make sure they understand what's going on so that we can all have a better and smoother process, I think, for the whole community, the community as a whole.
Okay, I don't. All right, I don't expect you to endorse your opponent, but I haven't really seen it here this year, that back and forth type thing. But is there a compliment that you could pay your opponent?
Well, I didn't know much about my opponent until I started running, and the information comes out as it does during election cycles. And I didn't realize how much we had in common. We've done a lot of similar activities and been a part of similar groups in Abilene. And so it surprised me, because I'm a little older than him. So I'd run in those circles a little prior to him, but what I have found is that he has a servant's heart. He wants to serve people, and his desire is to bring people together so that they can all get on the same page. And I do appreciate his desire to serve people and his desire to be involved in our community. He is definitely not one that says things, but he actually does the things in our community that he says. And so I think his servant heart is very much apparent in all that he does. And he's a very kind person, and when you talk to him, you just kind of you lower your intensity level just because he helps people chill, and he's good at that because of his servant's heart, I think, helps with that.
All right. Well, I think this would probably be the time to ask you then, what makes you think that you are uniquely qualified for this position?
Well, like I mentioned before, I'm not one that ever had political aspirations. Well, I didn't mention this, but I didn't have political aspirations. So it wasn't like I started doing this so I could figure out how to get on council. I started doing this so that I could figure out how to understand what was going on. And then I realized that as I was going to council meetings, that there was a disconnect, and I didn't know how to bring both sides to the table so that I could bring the citizens that I was representing to the council so they could understand it. And so my unique experiences is that I've done the work to understand what goes on. I've tried my best to educate people, and I will continue to do that as a council person. And I don't think that is kind of necessarily what's been happening currently, because there is no one who stepped up and said, oh, it seems like you're interested in this. Let me show you how to do this, or let me tell you what to look for. It was through other people outside of the city hall that were like, did you know that there's an agenda packet? And did you know that they meet on these days? And there are people helping me. And so I want to be that conduit, not only as a citizen, but as a council member, that I don't think is actually happening right now, currently.
Okay. Well, the city council is searching for a new city manager. And so what do you think he or she should bring to that job?
Well, I think this is an exciting time for Abilene, because we've had the same city manager for the last 10 years. So coming up, we have a chance to really evaluate who we want to be in charge of that position. It's a key position. It's the go-between between the council and the mayor and the city staff and the boards and things like that. And so I think the most important thing is we need to have a manager who not only understands city government, but understands how to empower people to do a good job in the positions they're qualified for, because we know we have lower level employees that potentially could become assistant directors and directors. And we want someone who can see the vision of how to raise up future leadership and make sure that the employees have a great work environment, that they enjoy coming to work, they enjoy making our city a better place through their jobs, and that they know they have the back of the city manager to succeed and be successful in the different departments they work in. I know it's important that there are some things that we do as a city that we've always done. I don't think it's bad for someone to come in and think it's a little outside the box, because sometimes it takes a new person to see things in a different way that actually can help us grow leaps and bounds in ways we probably wouldn't have thought of. And so I hope that the future city manager is able to do that, not just do it the same way, but do what works best for our city.
If you could have a dinner with anyone of the past or future, who would that person be? A past or the present, really?
That's a hard question, because there's so many amazing people. As I said, I love to read books, and one of my favorite type of books to read is biographies. And so I love reading about real people in real situations, especially those who have faith, and seeing how their trust in God helped them come to the other side. One of the people I love to try and read his biography every year is William Wilberforce. And so I think he is one that I really would be fascinated to talk to, because he's a man that started off, he didn't have everything. His mom was unfortunate, was not able to really help him out, but he did have some family members who helped him succeed in the cultures and the different levels of life. And because of that, he was able to get on and be in government, and he was able to have great influence in society in different places. And once he became a man of faith, that's when he realized he could no longer continue to watch what was happening with the slaves. And so he lost everything in order to stop the slave trade in England. And I think that is the kind of person I really want to be able to talk to, because I think so many people think it's easy to do these things. And it's easy to romanticize these people who have shaped our history, but it cost everything. And I want to know someone who can say it's worth it. It's worth giving up the comforts of life to stay the course for the things that are really important, that really matter in our world.
Tell me one thing that is going great in the city, if you believe there is something that's going great.
Well, I think, you know, I was asked this in another forum, and I think one of the things that's exciting to see shift that's happened is the police morale. I think they're going in a better direction. They've got some new leadership, and I see it actually taking shape and creating a healthier a place for us here in the city. But I do think we also really love to advertise. Like, we know how to promote ourselves well outside of Abilene. We have great tourism. We're always looking for ways to create places for people want to come through our tourism board and, you know, just the downtown area and all the different activities. And so I think we're working good on getting people to want to come visit. So I think there's some good things going on in the city. I think it's important to focus on the good things, because, you know, we got to stay excited about what's happening well, but it's also okay to start looking at ways we can improve the other areas as well. So.
Okay. Is there, excuse me, is there anything else that you would like to say to the public?
Well, I think what's great about the city of Abilene is we are small enough to be a big city in West Texas, but we're small enough to know each other, but we're also big enough to be a place where people want to come to. And so one of the things that I love about Abilene is the community. We are oriented for families, and we want to make it a place where people want to live and retire and spend their lives. And so as a person who's been a part of this community, I want to continue to do that and help others to recognize ways we can do that better through being a part of what's happening in Abilene government. And I know that as the citizens get more involved and they have a place to be heard, that they're going to naturally want to start building up their neighborhoods. They're wanting to start connect better, and they're going to want to make a difference, not only from the ground up, but working together, we're going to shift Abilene in a really positive way. So thank you.
Well, Ms. Fogel, I appreciate you being here today. And as you're on the campaign trail, be safe.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's Everything West Texas is a production of KACU and is sponsored by the West Texas Tribune and Floyd Miller Investments. Securities and investment advisory services offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. FSC is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of FSC. Floyd Miller can be reached at 3300 South 14th Street, Suite 100 in Abilene, Texas, 325-676-0138. I'm Floyd Miller, your host. Subscribe today.